So we're going to finish our series, Dead Presidents, today. Can somebody say amen? Have we not had a great time doing that? Hallelujah. Somebody say God over money. For those of you that are just joining us, you can go online and you can get the messages at jarenclneal.com. It's been about maybe 15 message series or something like that, and it has been profound teaching. And on last Sunday, we hit some very, very major things as it relates to money and fiat currency and the Federal Reserve. And, you know, we taught on a lot of spiritual things, but last week I had to pull the teeth out of mammon. Did we do that? Let's review just real quick for those of you that are just joining us. Review of last week. Put up my first slide there. We talked about an economic evolution. We walked through what happened in our banking industry. If we're talking about money, we talked about what happened in 1913. The Federal Reserve Act was signed, which turned America's monetary policy and fiscal policy over to the Federal Reserve. This was signed in 1913. And what this meant is that even though our Constitution in Section 8 of one of the articles, it states that Congress is supposed to make our money, determine its value, and determine how much is in circulation as well as its exchange rate. Are you with me? The important thing about that we talked about last week is that if Congress made our money would be free. It would not put us in debt. But the Federal Reserve Bank Act turned that responsibility over to the central banking system or the European banks, which were already in operation for many, 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 many years, okay, before 1913. But America had fought off using these central banks and finally ended up giving in 1913. This means that every dollar that comes into our system is already a loan. It's already a debt, and that's why we have a national deficit. Are you with me? In 1933, the effects of this central banking system hit us in 1932, stock market crash, right? Great Depression, U.S. files bankruptcy, and not just bankruptcy, it filed irrevocable bankruptcy, which means the U.S. is in bankruptcy right now. You just don't know it. So all debts were canceled. Did you know that there has actually been several jubilees, not only in America, but other countries, where they wiped out all debt because they could not pay off the debt? Okay, and they're talking about doing it again, but just pay attention, all right? In 1936, right after the U.S. files bankruptcies, Social Security was created. The reason why is because we went from private citizens to corporations. And the only way to make you a corporation is to turn you into a fictitious entity, also known as a straw man. Did anybody do any research on that? No? I told you I'll study this stuff out. All right, write that down in your notes, straw man. Just type it in Google. Make sure you have a good cup of coffee. Okay, and when we talk about your name in all caps, that's actually a legal term. I'm not making that up. There is a legal term as it relates to writing your name in all caps, which is why all your bills, all of your letters, all your court documents, your name will always be in all caps because they're talking to your straw man and not the private citizen. You better hear what I'm saying. All right. And then in 1944, the Bretton Woods Agreement, this is when we became the world's reserve currency. 1944, what does that remind you of? That's right. During the war. That's when we took Britain's place as the top currency in the world. This was a great thing for America. And the reason it was a great thing for America is because now everybody had to come get our money to exchange goods and services across the world, which made everything super cheap for us. Make sense? So in other words, notice that when they talk about barrels of oil, right? Because everybody's always concentrated on gas. The reason that barrels of oil, when they talk about the value of it, they always talk about $100 a barrel. Because anyone who wants oil around the world has to get U.S. dollars first, then go buy oil. Because we're the world's reserve currency. And in 1971, the gold window closes, which detached us. We were already kind of detached, but this made it really official. Detached us from being a commodity-backed currency, okay? A commodity-backed currency so that we are now a fiat currency. Did anybody do any research? I told you to do some research and find out how many countries, how many, places have failed because of fiat currency. Raise your hand if you did your homework. Every single one of them. Every single one. okay? And so we're in one of these situations right now. So that Bretton Woods agreement is an issue. Let's look at 106. Okay, so the Federal Reserve, we dealt with that, right? This is why we have, again, irrevocable debt. This is, and the debt will never be paid off because they only put the principal in the system, never the interest. Did anyone check that one out? All right. We talked about the fiat currency is a currency not backed by any physical commodity. And then we dealt with fractional reserve banking, which allows the bank to multiply your money at a ratio 10 to 1. So if you put in $6,000, they get to lend out $600,000. And they get to lend out that $600,000 at 5, 7, 10, or 12%, depending upon what your interest rate is, right? Anybody know what a margin is? Okay, here's what a margin is. This is why your credit score needs to be good, because the Federal Reserve Bank sets what prime, the interest rate, is. Interest is the cost to borrow money. So they may set the prime rate at 2%. They lend money to the bank, which means the bank has to put their profit on higher than 2% because they got to pay back the Federal Reserve. Does that make sense? So by the time it gets to you, they'll say, hey, they're at 2%. We're going to lend to you at 5% if you have good credit. If you don't have good credit, you're going to pay another margin over. Are y'all with me? This is still church, but we can talk about practical things too, right? Don't worry. We go into the word. So you're paying a margin. So they'll call you subprime. Y'all with me? So you went in for the car and they advertised you down there at 3%. But when they ran your credit, they said, you're too risky. We're not sure you're going to pay back the loan. So we're going to charge you more, which seems to be backwards. Like, shouldn't if I have bad credit, I get a lower interest rate since you don't you want to reduce your risk? Or? But that would make too much sense. So you're paying a margin over that, okay? And so this is why it's good to get your credit right, or don't borrow. Somebody say amen. Amen. And then, of course, we dealt with reserve currency. If you'll go to our next slide there. And let me say this about fractional reserve banking. We touched last week about how, because of this multiplier, they're giving you money, digits on a screen, that you never actually received in your hand, but it's yet associated with your Social Security number, right? You went and bought real assets with fake money. And if you don't pay back your fake loan, they're going to come take your real assets. Right now, in 2015, the yuan became the third ranking currency in the world's reserve currency basket. And they're saying it's smacking the dollar around. Please go check this out. Because we need to understand that if this does, in fact, happen. And you'll notice that there's a particular group of people coming over and buying up a lot of real estates and assets because they all figured out our money wasn't worth nothing. So they're saying, hey, we've invested in this country. We found out the dollars they were giving us is no good, so let's come get the real estate. Because we technically own you anyway, and if we were to call in the loans, you wouldn't be able to pay us, but with fake paper, it's toilet paper, so let's come get the stuff now. Now, when you think that they would come get it, check this out. Think about it. When you think they would come get it once their money is of more value than ours, but they already know their money is of more value than ours, check it out. They say that the Chinese are suppressing their currency on purpose. So catch it. When they come and buy the house's cash, right? They're paying six times as much as we are, but when it flips, they got it for pennies on the dollar. They got it for pennies on the dollar because they already know it's worth more. You with me? All right. So, oh yeah. Y'all remember greenbacks? Y'all remember history class? Remember Abraham Lincoln? Right? And they say he freed the slaves and was against the abolitionists and all that, and alcohol and all that. But one of the main things he did, they don't talk a lot, they talk about it, but they don't make it that big of a deal. He wanted to reinstitute constitutional tender, money made by Congress. This is back in 1865. He was fighting against the central banks. So he came out with his own money called greenbacks. Do y'all remember that, history students? Yeah? Just go ahead and say yes. All right? It's called greenbacks. And then what happened to him? He was assassinated, and there was actually written documents that talk about how they could not have him start this new constitutional tender because it would be debt-free. Debt-free money. And then, 41 days after re-election, he was assassinated. What we learned last week was just how empty, uncertain, and deceptive money is. Amen? Satan is the god of this world because he's what? The father of lies. Every lie, every lying system, that he's the god of this world. The world is not the earth. The world is the systems that rest in the earth, and Satan is the god over all of them. He's the god over merchandise. The Bible says it all the time. Matter of fact, remember in the book of Ezekiel, the prince of Tyre, one of the things he says, one of his sins was his trading in merchandising. It's all been a big lie. God hates, here's the thing you got to remember about God. He hates unscrupulous business dealings and unjust scales. He hates it. Proverbs 20 and 10, Amplified Version. Actually, let's go to 20 and 23 first, and then we'll go to 10. 20 and 23. Diverse, read this with me. Diverse and deceitful weights are shamefully vile and abhorrent to the Lord, and false scales are not good. So you got to think, in an agricultural society, everything was weighed. So you had to have the right weights to make sure that values were consistent. Does that make sense? So it says diverse. In other words, diverse weights or deceitful ones. It says 10, but it's only worth 5. He doesn't like that. He says false scales are not good. Anybody go to the grocery store and you still weigh your bananas or your apples or whatever it is that you're buying produce? That's a scale. But what if they're telling you it's $1.99 a pound, but what if the scale is off? If the scale is off, you're paying more for less. That would be called a diverse weight, just to put it in common terms for you. Amen. Sometimes them scales be off at the airport. It's charging you for your... What if you found out that the scale was off and it was saying your bag is 59 pounds and it was 42 and you had to pay extra? Would you be mad? That's a diverse scale, an unjust weight. Go to verse 10. Diverse weights. Read this part with me. One for buying and another for selling, and diverse measures, both of them are exceedingly offensive and abhorrent to the Lord. God hates tricky business. God hates unjust scales. He hates when people fix their money. He hates when they rob you at going to get your car. He hates when they rob you with your interest rate and tell you that your score is so high. And you notice price lists always be in the back? Like just tell me what the prices are. Oh, well, no, well, let's find out what car you want first. No. Is that going to change your paper? How come they don't have a menu when you walk into the car lot? So if your FICO score is between here and here, this is your interest rate. If it's between here and here, it's your interest rate. If between here, they always got to go to the back office because they back there changing weights. Why you got to have a secret conversation? How come I can't go back there with you? But I'm here to tell you, God is at the table on behalf of his people. And while they're back there conspiring against you, God is working on your behalf. Next time they go, send an angel. Father, I send an angel with them right now. And every unjust dealing concerning me, you're turning it around in my favor. God takes care of his people because he hates unjust scales. Can I tell you a story real quick? You remember Jesus went to the temple? And what did he do? Turn over the tables. Check this out. He turned over the tables because of the money exchangers. And they have been falsely teaching God hates money. And anytime you're selling something in the church, you know, it's a den of thieves. No. Go check your Bible history. They were required by law to be at the temple. Because people who came too far had to exchange for turtle doves and chain exchange. The problem was they had unjust weights. So when the people were measuring their ephah and measuring this, that, and the other so they could bring their tithe into the storehouse, he was robbed. Check it out. Pay attention. They were robbing the people, so they brought the inappropriate amount before the Lord. So he was upset, not because they were exchanging money, but because they were unscrupulous bankers and money lenders and exchangers causing people to rob God. So he turned over their tables and called them a den of thieves. He wasn't talking about the people buying. He was talking about the people selling. And that's what that scripture says in Proverbs 20:23. He says you got one for buying and another one for selling. You put certain weights on when you're trying to get the stuff. So you get it at a low cost so you can mark up the margin and then you change it back when it's time to sell. Am I in the house yet? And it's been happening to God's people for way too long. We've been getting taken advantage of because the children of the world are wiser, more shrewd than the children of light. But the Bible says, behold, I send you out as sheep among what? Wolves. Therefore, be wise as a serpent, shrewd as a serpent. Understand that they're playing three-card Monty with you at the table. And so it's time for God's people to wake up and understand that you're in the wolf system right now. You're not dealing with believers. You're dealing with people trying to stick you for your paper. Is that what Biggie said? Trying to stick me for my paper. Trying to get you. They're trying to take your head off. So listen, he said, don't be a serpent. Just think like one. Understand who's on the other side of the desk. Oh, I'm talking to you already. Jesus turned over tables in the temple because of false weights. Can't you see why the Bible says you can't serve both God and mammon? You will either hate one or hate the other. Matthew 6:24 says you cannot serve both God and mammon. Who is mammon? We started out in the beginning of this series talking about who mammon is. Mammon is the god of money. He's the god of unjust and unrighteous money. He's depicted as a man sitting on, with his foot on top of a man and a woman's head in his lap. Go and put the picture back up. It's at the top. I know I'm taking y'all off, but roll with me. It's all the way at the top there. So check it. This, there he is. I don't know if you can see it, but that is the depiction. It was money personified, mammon, the money god. So he's saying you can't serve both God and money because, see, money keeps you in debt. So that's why it always feels like you got a foot on your neck. And the things we do for money, I'm going to leave that right there. Key point. I'm going to give you the time to get back. On 109, mammon is not just the god of money. He's the god of false weights and unscrupulous business dealings. That's why you can't put your trust in him. You've been out there breaking your neck, missing church and missing time with the Lord, missing time with your family, out there trying to get empty dollars. Made you feel like you were working hard for your family, but when you got finished working hard, you still didn't have enough. Why? Because it was empty. You worked your butt off and still didn't have enough money. You got way more month than you have money, and it still didn't go far enough. Come on, sir. Right. We started trusting in mammon because we were so worried that we couldn't pay our tithes. And so we held it and said, you know, the Lord's going to have to understand. I don't have enough to pay my tithes. You know, I'm too poor to pay my tithes. I'm too poor to give into the church. God understands. And then when you got finished robbing God, not realizing you just joined the den of thieves. That's why he says, will a man rob God? And then after you held it, you notice it still never works out. Nobody ever says, man, I'm so glad I stopped paying my tithes. I was able to pay that. You couldn't pay the car note anyway. And then rob God. Now you owe two people. They both think you thieves. So what they do, mess up your credit, jack up your interest rate, so you got to go back to mammon again. God asking for 10, Visa asking for 28. You pay God, he rebukes the devourer. You pay MasterCard, it's still never enough. This is why last Sunday we had to pull the teeth out of mammon, so you know he has no power. See, one of the assignments, Elder Fuller prophesied to me, and he came and encouraged me, you know, because that was a rough message last week. And, you know, it's a dangerous message too, but I'm going to tell the truth and shame the devil. You follow what I'm saying? And he reminded me one of the assignments of the prophet is to pull down false gods. Remember Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 18, I think it is, verse 19. Remember, there was a question of whose God was more powerful. Whether it was the God Baal and Asherah. And we always say 400 prophets. No, it was like 950. Because there were 400 prophets of Asherah and 450 prophets of Baal. Asherah is Baal's wife, also known as Nimrod and Semiramis, the sun god and the moon god. Diana and Zeus. Aphrodite, all those things, all Asherah. Oh, she has another name named Ishtar, also referred to as Easter. We'll get that in a couple series later. And he said, if you want to see whose God is greater, I tell you what, let's have a test. You gather all the gods of Baal and Asherah, and I'll be me by myself. One house. By myself. Right? And he says, you call on your God, and I'll call on mine. As a matter of fact, and he said, the God who answers by fire, whoever's God answers by fire, that will be the true and living God. And it talks about how not only did he get a bull, but he went and got stones and poured water all over it. Do y'all know the story, Bible students? He says he poured water all over the bull and all over everything and a ditch of water all around it. And it says that they called on their God all day long. And he didn't show up. And the Bible says Elijah started mocking them. Go home and read the story. Said maybe he's in the restroom. Maybe he's indisposed. Maybe he's sleepy. Maybe... You know you a bad prophet when you start making fun of 950. They could have killed you. But listen, when you're on God's purpose and his plan, nobody can touch your life. If God be for me, who can be against me? It was only 950. The Bible says one could put 1,000 to flight. So he knew his ratios. Somebody say, know your ratio in the spirit. You run up against 500 people, you got to understand it's a legion of angels behind him, behind you. I tell you, it don't matter who's in front of you. What matters is who's behind you. And listen, and so they call on them all day, and the Bible says they started cutting themselves. That's how you know you're dealing with a demonic God. When he calls you to destroy your temple. Just like the demoniac in the cave, what was he doing? Cutting on yourself. See, that's what we got a problem with. A lot of our young children and a lot of folks piercing and cutting and ruining their temple. You already know what devil you worship in. Because he hates the image of God, so he wants you to destroy it. But you're God's masterpiece. Who paints over a masterpiece? You don't need no help. You came here fearfully and wonderfully made. You don't need no tattoos for that. You came here beautiful. And he didn't call. And then it says Elijah called him out. And the Bible says he answered by fire. And not only did the fire come and consume the bull, it consumed the water and the stones. Now, what kind of fire burns up stones? Grounded them. They were all gone. And then it says that the Spirit of the Lord came upon Elijah and he slayed all 950. And after he got finished killing them, outran a chariot. Am I in the Bible? Now, what kind of power? That's more than ginseng right there. That's more than your Wheaties right there. It's called the Spirit of the Lord. And there's also one facet of the Spirit of the Lord in Isaiah chapter 11 called the Spirit of Might. It's what came upon Samson. Samson was never buff. It never says it in the Bible. It says when the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. So you've been using the Holy Ghost just to dance and shout. But there's other facets of him that will cause you to become strong and mighty. I wish you would get to know the Holy Ghost, because the Bible says greater is he that's on the inside of me than he that's in the world. That's the same Spirit sitting in front of you when it comes to interviews, when it comes to negotiation, when it comes to people plotting and scheming to stick you for your paper. You're trying to get me. Realize what's on the inside. Tap your neighbor and say, you got him on the inside. So we had to dismantle the God mammon. We just had a showdown last week. And you've been calling on him for a long time. But he's never going to answer. But our God, he answers in famine. He answers in drought. He answers when the odds are stacked against you. Oh, listen to Jeremiah 17:5. It says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. Verse 7, actually, it says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when what? Heat comes. That means when it's tough times, you still going to eat. You're still going to prosper. Even if the world's reserve currency changes to the yuan, guess what? Those who put their trust in the Lord. See, this is why you shouldn't have had your trust in money anyway. Well, my hope was never in that. I don't care what happened to the dollar. Guess what? My hope and trust was never in that anyway. I already knew it was false. I'm using it for what I can use it for right now. And when it fails, guess what? God's going to take care of me. This is why the just shall live by what? Faith, not by fiat. Have you noticed fiat almost sounds like faith if you switch a couple of letters around? Fiat is backwards faith. Catch it. It says, and will not fear when heat comes. You don't have to fear. It says, but its leaf will be green. And listen to this. And it will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease. What does it say? From what? Yielding fruit has to do with your income. Has to do with your produce. It has to do with your bills being paid, your tuition being paid, your bills being paid off. So who shall be like a tree? Who shall be like a tree? And it says, if we're the tree, then the symbolism, the analogy is, if you're the tree and the tree's not anxious, then you shouldn't be anxious in the year of drought. See, a tree needs water, but you need money. And it says you don't have to fear if the economics fall. If you lose your job, if everything changes, if the bottom falls out the real estate market, guess what? Those that put their trust and hope in the Lord, they don't have to fear and they don't have to be anxious and worry in the year of drought. Somebody give the Lord a hand praise. Genesis 47, verse number 5. Write these scriptures down. We're going to close this out. Genesis 47, 15. It says, y'all remember Joseph? Remember Joseph, God raised Joseph up. And he became the head over Egypt, second behind Pharaoh. And he was over all of the resources and the food program. And look at what happened. Look at what it says here. Read it with me. So when you mean this ain't going to be the first time? So when the what failed? When the money failed in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan. Now, wasn't Egypt one of the most wealthiest, richest countries in the world, and their money failed? So you mean if it happened, it won't be the first time? It says, so when the money fell in the land of Egypt and the land of Canaan, all the Egyptians came to who? So Joseph wasn't tripping even when the money failed. Joseph still had a job even when the money failed. And he said, and they said, give us bread. Why should we die in your presence? For the money has failed. Read the next passage there, verse 16. Then Joseph said, give your livestock and I'll give you bread for your livestock if the money is gone. Hold on, y'all. Catch this. I decree a Joseph anointing over you. I decree a Joseph wisdom over you. A Joseph preservation over you. That they're going to come to you when the money fails. And you're going to make negotiate. Listen, you need to be in a position. Joseph was in the position to make negotiations and deals when the money failed. A supernatural wisdom will rest upon your life while everybody is running around like chickens with their head cut off and Chicken Little saying the sky is falling. What are we going to do? Listen, my hope was in the Lord. He gave me this job. He pulled me out of jail to get this job. I've been set here for this exact moment. Listen, this was the volume of his book. Those of you who were here Wednesday night. He came what was written of him to do the will of God. I'm going to get last Wednesday night's message. This was the volume of his book. So listen, he was making negotiations. So I am decreeing and prophesying over you that God released this wisdom to you that you will be a Joseph even if the money fails. Say it over yourself. I'll be a Joseph even when the money fails. I will not worry. Remember, worry is how you worship mammon. Anxiety is what moves you into doing things in your own flesh and taking matters into your own hands rather than trusting the Lord. So this is why he says, don't be anxious, because anxiety is worry. Whatever you do, it don't mean you can't talk about what's real. It just means don't worry. Y'all remember I told you I had to move and all that? And, you know, I got a deadline and all that because they're selling the house I'm in and everything. And I said, you know, Lord, we want to believe God to buy. But guess what we're not going to do is worry. We're not going to worry at all. We're looking. God has provided the resources that we need. And now we're just looking. And guess what? But while we're looking, we're not looking with a frantic, oh, God, we got to move. We're walking by stuff. No, I don't want that. Well, why don't you take this one? No, I don't want that. We went in some places and the Lord says, don't you dare settle. And what was so prophetic about it is I called my wife, you know, she had to do the fearless sleepover. I know y'all had a good time. Amen. And she wasn't able to go look at the house. Matter of fact, most of them we go look at, you know, she goes to see some, but the rest of them, she's not going. She's like, all I know is I'm not settling. You go and you tell me whether it's worth me coming to go look at it. So I said, yes, ma'am. Because there's certain things she don't have to worry about. That's right. Are you listening? Catch this. So I call her. She says, well, how about the houses that you saw? I said, no, that's not it. And as I was driving and I looked at a house, it wasn't it. And the Lord said to me, you are moving forward. You're not moving backward. Right. He says, you're going up and you're not going down. You don't have to settle. He said, because in Deuteronomy chapter 6, I said I would give you houses you didn't build. Things in the houses you didn't put there. Wells that you didn't dig. Well, I don't need a well, but I do need a pool. So go and dig me a pool that I didn't have to put in. Are you listening to me? It says, I'll give you olive trees and vineyards you didn't plant. So I want some fruit trees too, Lord. I want the place landscape because that's not what I do. That means somebody else going to do all the work and then turn it over to me for a price that I want. Are you listening to me? Because why? I'm not going to worry in the year of drought. They're telling me interest rates are going up. I don't care nothing about interest rates. My hope is in the Lord. I hope I can get to this message here. We're almost here. So check this out. Not only does our God answer by fire, he feeds in famine. Key point, this is why we trust in the living God and not dead presidents. We trust in the living God, not dead presidents. Say it out of your mouth. We trust in the living God and not dead presidents. It's always God over money. Money fails. God never fails. The Bible says he can do anything but fail. So this is why he tells us to make sure we place our money in a place that it does not devalue. Isn't that what he said? He says, trust. Don't put your, what does it say? Matthew 16:19 says, don't lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy. And then we talked about last week. Moth is eating your stuff up in the bank. They're paying you 0.00075 and making 500% on the other end. Lending your money out. And if we were all to go to the bank at the same time to require our money, it wouldn't be in there. That's why your bank account has to have an insurance policy. Up to $200,000. They raised it after the last recession. Y'all remember that? They used to insure bank accounts to $100,000. Then they went up to $200,000. But why, if your money's in the bank, why they got to insure it? Don't lay it where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in. We always talk about thieves from the outside coming in. But what about the thieves behind the counter? And I'm not talking about tellers, because most tellers have no idea about this stuff that I'm talking about. It's the people behind the people behind the people. The ones in the shadow peeking out from the back, they know. The one that won't come out to meet you when it's time to talk about your interest rate. Tell him to come on out here. No, he busy. Well, he need to be busy serving me. That's why they don't want to talk to you, because they're back there playing three car Monty. It says, but lay up for yourselves treasures in where? Read this part. Read this part. Verse 20. Let's read together. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So in other words, Jesus was letting us know you can't trust in the system. We found that out in the last recession. When you call them for a workout plan and they say, well, you're paying your bills on time, and so we need you to miss a few payments. Am I talking to anybody in here? We can only help you if you're in trouble. Well, how come you can't help me before I get in trouble, before I mess up my credit? No, we need you to get into the system, so we need you to go delinquent. And then the workout was, now we want you to pay back all the money that you didn't pay, but you told me not to pay them. Well, send us all your paperwork that they lost 50 times. Am I talking to anybody here? Anybody went through that? Scanned your paper to them and they lost your paperwork 50,000 times. Well, how come I can't just email it to you? That won't be lost. No, no, we don't receive emails. That would make too much sense. Fax it to us. You want me to fax it? It's 2009. It's 2010. Three card. Money. Check this out. So God is saying, make your money recession proof. Put it somewhere. And he says, put it in heaven. He said, put it in heaven. Now catch this. When you give, check this out. He says to put your money in heaven. Now the question is, how do you lay up treasures in heaven? How you lay up treasures in heaven? And then he said, anytime you want to interpret the Bible, you interpret the Bible with the Bible. Line upon line, precept upon precept, scripture upon scripture. So if you want to know how to put your treasures in heaven, you go to the scripture and find it. Matthew 19:21 tells you the first way to do it. Remember the rich young ruler? Came to Jesus, says, hey, I've been keeping your law all this time. And I want to know that I'm good. He says, well, listen, do all these different things. He said, I've been doing that since I was youth. He said, well, go sell all you have. If you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give it to who? Give it to who? And then what does it say afterward? And you will have. Oh. If I give to those who have less than me, that proves money don't own me. It proves I don't worship mammon. And when I do it, there's a treasure in heaven. So that's a better account. And so is that why it says it's better to give than to receive? Because when I check this out, when I give it, I take it from fiat currency to kingdom currency. Okay, there's another one. Go to my next one there. Luke chapter 12, verse 33. Look how he says this one. Sell what you have and give what? Alms. Provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old. Hold on, wait a minute. He says, give alms, which means give to those in need, give to a kingdom work, give to purposes to build people up who have less. He says, when you do that, you create a new purse, a new wallet that don't get old. Did you catch? I'm not making it up. It's right there on the Bible. If you actually bring a Bible to church, you'll see it. I went somewhere to preach not too long ago, and nobody in the church had a Bible, including the pastors. And I knew it was going to be a long night. I said, oh, maybe they don't realize who they invited. Because I believe in the Bible. I'm not here just blowing smoke. I'm showing it to you in the scripture. Sell what you have. When you do that, you provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old. A what? Treasure in the heaven that does not fail. The money fails. But when you give, when you sow into the kingdom, when you sow into people less fortunate, when you are generous, you are creating a treasure in the heaven that does not get old. Anybody ever feel like you had money in holes in your pockets? You had enough money, but it's like, man, where did my money go? And then you got to go back and check the bank account and say, what? Oh, I spent it on this, Taco Bell, McDonald's. Go calculate, some homework. Go home and calculate how much you spent on fast food. Go calculate how much you spent wasting money, fooling around, $10 here, $5 there, $3 here. That $3 will add up real quick. Going to the wrong bank to pull money out the ATM. Them $3 fees, two on one end and three on the other. They're eating you up, thieves are breaking in and stealing. You gonna charge me to get my own money? To give me money that wasn't in your account to begin with? Shenanigans. Old school used to call it a caper. You with me? Where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. We got to get our money in the heavens. How do we do it? Giving. Giving alms. Check this out. By giving alms and support of those in need, we get the holes out of our pocket. We ought to give to people who are less fortunate. Don't have so much money you looking down on folks who don't have the same. We got folks walking around here, shoes are old, kids' shoes are old, and you rolling and stuff. Go buy some shoes. Look out for your brother and your sister. You see folks and you walk by your brother and your sister, you see their tags is old, and you know they ducking and dodging. And you got the money, help them out. Are you hearing me? This is why one of the first marks of the church is where they had all things in what? Common. Where people who had much helped those that didn't have enough. Now, we're not talking about folks that just run around looking for money from everybody. We got our eye on you. Amen. Who want to borrow and not pay back. That's wicked. So let's do this with balance. You know, because some folks who don't want to do right, they love this message. Yeah, pastor, they're going to be right outside just kicking rocks, right? When. Hey, what's wrong, brother? Oh, well, you know, I need some alms. Capers. But we ought to look out for one another. See people struggling. If you have issues with folks, like, well, we need to do more of this and we need to do more of that. And then when it's time to do it, your behind don't show up. Where you at? Time to give away food to the poor. Where you at? We say we need cans of beans and things to feed the homeless and to help them. Where you at? One thing that I have committed that we do in this church, and I'm carrying on from what my parents did, is that we make sure that this church blesses other churches. Because we used to be a much smaller church, and now God is increasing us. He made us faithful over much because we were faithful over little. So we don't get all big and snooty and acting all funny. And I can't go to no small churches to preach. I still go to small churches to preach. And when they try to give me an offering, I said, no, you keep that. Treasure's in heaven. You want to know why I do that? Because if I ever fall on hard times, when the money fell down here, I know I got a treasure account in the heavens that don't fail. You got to think ahead. The Bible tells us, isn't that Ecclesiastes 11? Hold on, go there. Can I take my time with this? Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse number 1. It says, cast your bread upon waters for you will find it after many days. Here's the part 2. Give a serving to 7 and also to 8. For you do not know what evil will be on earth. In other words, be cool to everybody. Help them out. Cast that bread upon the water, because you don't know when it may come back to you. You don't know what trouble may await you later. You're the CEO now, and you might be on EBT later. And sometimes you see the same folks in the line that you treated funny, and now you need a job from folks that you mistreated. You need a helping hand from the folks you looked down on and drove by while they were sitting on the bus stop. So you treat them right because you don't know what evil is coming your way. You in a season of gathering stones, but sometimes it may be a season of casting away stones. And you got to make sure you got enough treasure in another realm when your money fails. Make sure you did like that unjust ruler and wrote down some debts. Oh, did y'all catch it? Remember the guy who wrote down the debts? And he says, do that so you will come into everlasting homes where you'll have people to help you when you get fired. Be acting funny when we get money. We have memory issues. That's why God kept saying to us, don't forget when you come into your new house. When I get in my new house, first thing I'm going to do is turn on some shout music, some old school shout music. I'm going to go find me. Put on socks. Because I want wood floor, so I'm just going to slide in there like Risky Business and be shouting before the Lord. When I think about Jesus, what he's done for me. When I think about Jesus and how he set me free, I can dance. Come on. All night. Don't forget God. Listen, don't forget God and don't forget people. Don't forget what people need. Don't forget people. And it ain't about what they done for you. It's about a treasure in the heavens. Can I help you? I'm almost done. Check this out. You deposited money in your 401k, but are you depositing a treasure in heaven? These treasures do not fail when you give because you've been exchanged into another system. Everyone wants a safe vehicle, but Jesus gives a guarantee of fail-safe money. Check this out. When you give, your money becomes kingdom currency. It's like putting money in an offshore account. Even the government of the United States knows it. This is why they don't make you pay taxes on it. Check it out. Why when they give, they don't charge it? Because they know it belongs to another kingdom. Oh, I can't tax that. I can't mess with that. That's God's money. But now you got some crazy folks behind the wooden desk trying to come for the paper. Check it out. But they better not mess around too much. Because when you start messing with money in God's church, he turns over tables. And go back and read your Bible. The Bible says he braided a whip first. Oh, you changing weights? You changing interest rates? You changing laws? You coming from my church? Don't you know the gates of hell will not prevail against the church? I'll be right with you. Go get my strap. Go get my strap. Ain't that the scariest feeling in the world? Go get my strap. Remember when your sister was getting in trouble, your brother was getting in trouble, and your mom said, go get my strap. You was taking off like... in agreement with mama. You just heard the belt. Anybody remember hearing the belt tingle like clink, 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 clink? It was in a chill up your spine like, oh, Jesus, Father. We get real spiritual. Oh, koroma ba 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 sa. Sababa. Anybody pray in tongues when you got your butt whooped? Like, Jesus, where were you? You said if I call upon you, you'd save me. Acts chapter 10, verse number 1. I'm just about done. Acts chapter 10, verse number 1 says, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man, one who feared God with all his household, who gave what? Alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. He was a generous man. Somebody say generous. And about the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming and in and saying to him, Cornelius, look what happened. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? So he said to him, your prayers and your what? Have come up for a what? Memorial before God. Now hold on. This is an Italian man, not a Jew. In the Old Testament, who God's given visions to before the New Testament. It is the New Testament, but it wasn't the New Testament. Because Jesus hadn't died yet. So it's still Old Testament, which means he's a Gentile who should have no covenant with God. But yet the Bible says, bring all those who make covenant with me through sacrifice. So why would God be giving a vision to an unsaved man? But check it out. He gave sacrifice through what? Offering and prayer. So he had a covenant with God. So God visited him with an angel and a vision. Because his alms had come up before him as a memorial before God. Now let's read this. Verse 5, it says, and now send men from Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea, and he will tell you what you must do. Hold on. So his prayer must have been like, Lord, I know I'm a Gentile. I know I'm apart from you. I know I need to be saved. You mean the offering and prayer can get you a word in due season? And remember, on the other side, Peter gets visited with a vision. Oh, I hear you, Holy Ghost. And this is the one where the tent came down, the blanket came down with all the different kinds of foods on it. And one of them were creeping, crawling things that Jews were not supposed to eat. Y'all know the story? And he says, rise, Peter, slay and eat. And he says, I've never touched anything unclean. I've never touched this and that unclean. Check this out. I've never touched anything unclean. He says, Peter, rise, slay and eat. But God was talking to him prophetically, saying it's okay to bring the Gentiles in, the unclean ones. You mean this all came from an offering? You mean God sent a prophetic word to the apostle to come get you because of offerings and prayers? Because it became a what? Memorial? You mean sometimes God pays back in wisdom? Am I in the Bible? Check this out. Because wisdom is more precious than gold. Listen, you can have money, but money will never buy wisdom. But wisdom will always get you more money. Check your Bible in Proverbs chapter 8. It says that riches live on the same street as wisdom. You think you got a money problem, but you really got a wisdom problem. All you need is a small adjustment in your wisdom. But next time you need wisdom, bring an offering and say, Lord, Father, I thank you for wisdom. I don't need no money. I just need wisdom. If I got wisdom, what did Solomon ask for? And what did God come to him and say? Since you didn't ask for money and you asked for wisdom, I'm going to make you the richest man that ever lived. Stop praying for money. Pray for wisdom. Oh, I hope you caught that. Some of y'all got the same issue with your money because you lack wisdom. But it says it comes up as a memorial. I went and checked this word, memorial. Catch this. It's the word menemasunan. I had practiced it. Just say, mama, say mamakun. Just... brr, stick 'em. Ha, ha, ha. It's the Greek word for memorial. But what does it mean? A reminder, a memo, a memorandum. What does it say? What's the last one? Say it with me. Cornelius, your prayers. There's a record in heaven of your giving. Oh, I'm right where I want to preach. There's a record in heaven of your giving. And I remember all the times you gave and supported my house, even when you weren't allowed in it. Even when you had sin in your life, you still remembered the Lord. Even when everything wasn't all right, I still know, Lord, that you're my source. I would not put my trust in it. And the scripture is letting us know that when you give, there is a record in heaven. Key point, God keeps records in heaven of your giving. I said, Lord, you keep a record? He said, son, don't you remember I hang out near the offering box? Check your, say, check your Bible. When money fails down here, it doesn't fail up there. When your bank account is empty down here, you still got kingdom currency. All of you been living off this account. You just didn't know it. Remember when you lost your job? Come on, sir. And you didn't know how you was going to make it. And you don't know how you was going to make your payment. And just in the nick of time, somebody showed up. You know what? You was on my heart. And the Lord told me to give you $202. And your car payment is $202. Your car broke down on the side of the road. And they told you it was going to cost you $500 some odd, but you ran into somebody who fixed it for free. You're like, Lord, man, this was a miracle. No, it was your account. You ran out of money down here. But God said, I checked the bank ledgers and you still got money. Let me send some your way. Let me send a discount. Let me send a breakthrough. Let me send a miracle. Let me send you some favor. Records. You know God keeps records. That's why as soon as you get to heaven, he opens the books. You know he keeps records. How do you think he's going to give you sevenfold if he don't keep a record of what you lost? Sevenfold is a multiplication. Multiplied against what? Seven times what? If he don't keep a record of what you gave and what you lost, he don't know what to multiply by. God is a bookkeeper. Don't you understand that? That's why every parable he coming back talking about, and let's reconcile accounts. Read your Bible. He hang around the offering box. Oh, he did it here in the scripture. Check it out. Mark 12:41, contemporary English version, last scripture. Not the last thing I got to say, but. And Jesus, read it with me. And Jesus was sitting in the temple near the offering box. Huh? Where was he at? You mean when you walked around the offering, Jesus was right there. He hangs around the offering box, sir. And he says, watching people put their gifts in. He noticed that the many rich people were giving a lot of money. Y'all read it so you're not saying, Pastor, make this up. The rich people was giving a lot of money. But finally, a poor widow came up and put in 2 coins that were worth only a few pennies. Look what Jesus says. Jesus told the disciples to gather around him. Come on. Did you see Sister Becca put in $2? It's a tough time for her right now. But I want all heaven. I want the cloud of witness, all you Hall of Famers. Check this out. Did you see my daughter right there give her very last to me? She gave, God bless everybody's offering, but this one cost her more than everybody else because it's the last she had. Somebody get the record books. Because she giving her last, we're going to take care of her, but there's a time coming and we getting ready to pay her back. Because when you give to the poor, you lend to the Lord. God always pays his bills. And he pays with interest. Check this out. Then he said, I tell you that this poor widow has put in more than all the others. Everyone else gave what they didn't need. Ooh. Ooh. Are you giving God, you giving God the cream off the top? Here you go. There you go. Didn't really cost you nothing. So this lets me know it's not about the amount of giving. God is paying attention to the cost of your faith. How hard did you have to stretch to give it? All offerings matter. But God looks at two things, the faith level and the heart condition. Ooh, did you catch it? So that means you can't be mad at your sister and come give. You can't have an attitude with your husband and come give. You can't be in disagreement with your spouse and come give. That's why he says, if you get ready to give an offering, leave your offering at the altar. Go back and be reconciled to your brother. And then come and give. Because listen, unforgiveness is a sin, and sin is a negative account. So I need you to make sure you get the negativity out your account before you make a deposit. Because if you deposit a check in an overdrawn account, it just eats the check up. And you're wondering why God ain't broke through. And you thought, well, maybe I didn't give enough. No, your attitude wasn't right. Ask Cain. Look what he said. He says, I do not regard your offering. And I checked it out, mama. Regard your offering means I'm not recording it. You don't get no credit for that because your attitude is right. You can't want a God to move who's all about forgiveness and not forgive. This is why it says, be a cheerful giver. Don't give grudgingly in your heart. Attitude. So he's looking at faith and he's looking at attitude. And he's keeping a record. And listen, you're going to live off this account. If the money fails, if America go all the way down, if we have a recession or whatever, we still going to eat. You get laid off, guess what? He writing checks from another account. You get to write checks from another account. And guess how you write checks? My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. I will trust in the Lord, for he is my strength. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. In him will I trust. He'll prepare a table before me in the presence of my... You write checks by confessing the word. And they say, you know what? This ain't just words. He's been living this for a long time. Go on and write him a check. He need his house note paid even though he don't have a house. Or even though he don't have a job. Yes, yes, yes. See, too long we've been writing... Our mouth been writing checks our behind can't cash. But now let your mouth write a check that heaven can. God hangs out around the offering box, which is why he also says, don't forget to pay your vow that you made in front of me and my angel, because I'll destroy the works of your hands. The best way to let God know mammon is not your God is to give. Give. Be generous. When we have things for our Kenya church, which is up to 500 people now, give. When it's time to build the outside of this building, give. When we have a brother or sister in need here, we say, let's put some money at their feet. Let's make sure we meet their needs. Give. If God touched your heart to bless one of these kids whose parents don't have enough, you know they got 7 kids and they need to clothe one of them for school. You took care of your child. Your child got Jordans on and they got, you know, another J. I don't know. Help them out with them shoes. Go take a kid shopping. And don't let everybody know you did it. You mess up the records. Yeah, he gave, but it was all about him. We serve the living God, not dead presidents. Give the Lord a hand, praise. I'm out of time.
God bless you. This is Pastor Jaron Christopher O'Neill. Unfortunately, we're out of time, but I trust that this message has touched your heart and reached you at your point of need. I pray that God will continue to minister to you as you meditate on this word. Remember, you can build your faith by hearing in repetition. But right now, I'd like to give you an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Please repeat this prayer after me with all the faith you have in your heart. Let's begin. Dear Lord, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I realize I have sinned and I cannot save myself. So I put my faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. I believe he died on the cross for me, and the blood he shed washed away my sins. I believe he rose from the dead and that he's coming back again. Lord Jesus, I invite you into my heart to be my Lord and Savior, and I make a commitment to live for you. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, according to Romans 10, 9, and 10, you are saved by confession of your faith. So now it's time for you to get planted in a church home where you can continue to grow. So I would like to invite you to worship with us at Fountain of Love Christian Center every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and Wednesday night at 7:30 p.m. To connect with us, please visit us at www.allinthefountain.com. And to connect with me and get more powerful messages, please visit me at www.jarronconeal.com. That's JarronConeal.com. Listen, I look forward to seeing you soon. But until then, remember this, everything you need is in the fountain.